he's never soared before. From rocky coast to golden
shore. The delicate vocal stylings of John Ashcroft in the background.
Stay tuned for the Christmas Coup Comedy Players.
As the land beneath her sings, only God, no other kings. Let the mighty eagle soar. This country's far too young to die.
Welcome to the Christmas Coup Comedy Players. That's the CCCP Four-Star General Laughing Nightmare. With Randy Credico, David Dozer, Mark Kehoe, John Canopa, Moogie Klingman, and Lindley Farley, Elizabeth McDonough, John McDonough, Scooter, the White Family, that's Scooter, Wendy, Caitlin, and Raymond, Chris Z, and special guests, Barry Crimmins, Reno, Grandpa Al, and Karen Lewis, and me, Janet Coleman. This show will replay Tuesday on KPFT Houston at 12 noon Texas time. Please visit our website at ChristmasCoup.com. And congratulations to Randy Credico for his efforts on behalf of the exonerated prisoners in Tulia, Texas, and to Grandpa Al Lewis for being named a Kentucky colonel by the governor of Kentucky, and a good old boy by the good old boys.
And now we go to one of our favorite segments here, the shout-out line, and today we'll hear about people complaining about how Human Shields will be unemployed after this week. We'll have a caller call in about a cheap way to fight terrorism and German mercenaries in Iraq. And boy, do they love a war.
Eagles soar, soar with healing in
her. Hello, this is Heinrich Heilmann, South American reporter, met a special tank division deep inside Iraq. I can't tell you where I am, but I can tell you that I love this kind of blitzkrieg. This war is a shock and awe. There's nothing like being a reporter and having everybody tell me what to say. It's less work, and I can just sit back and enjoy myself and watch the terrified looks on the stupid local people's faces when the buildings blow up. Ha ha! What a blast! Get it?
Next message.
Yeah, I'd like to say a few words, you commie bastards, you know what I mean? And I use the term bastard advisedly because I know that no respectable member of the Good Old Boy Network would admit to fathering one of you feathered freaks. Let me tell you something. This war is being fought for the right reason, and that is money. I happen to have money, but I need more money. And if I can make money with oil, I'll make it with oil. If I make it with drugs or girls, I'll make it that way. You understand what I'm saying? So you guys, you just keep protesting and jumping out there and everything like that. And I hope one of them flunky policemen hits you up the side of your head.
Now, sweetheart, mind your manners. Now, mind that mendacity. Now, when you gonna go down and turn in that stock for me, sweetheart? Because I know what you got it in. You got it in Halliburton. Halliburton's my favorite. Well, now you just go out there and protest your little butts off. Because I don't care. We're going to be collecting down on Wall Street. Come on, honey. Let's go. Let's go, honey. Let's go.
Next message.
Hi, this is Herb. I'm a CPA from New Jersey with a great, inexpensive idea on how to fight terrorism and stay safe in case of an attack. My family and I have dug trenches in the backyard, and we've been spending time under the ground and breathing through plastic straws. We're sure that we'll be real safe, and if there's an attack of any kind, chemical or germ attack, it'll be nice and cool down there under the ground on summer weekends. Well, why don't you try it? Thanks.
Next message.
Hi, this is Elizabeth again, your Human Shield in Baghdad. Standing at the corner of Bin Laden and Hussein in front of the last building in Baghdad. Not much is going on right now, and not a lot to protect. I'm having a great time here. Every night looks like the fireworks at Disney World when the bombs explode. I mean when the munitions are deployed. I will be seeing my fellow Americans very soon, and my work will be done here. But I've been assured by the soldiers there will be plenty of work for Human Shield very shortly in Iran, Syria, and maybe I'll even get to go to North Korea. Being an American Human Shield is growing business. Well, I'll see you in the next hunt we invade.
Next up, a preview of the upcoming epic Hollywood bunker buster, W of Arabia, from that powerhouse duo, Colin Powell and G.W. Bush.
Mr. President, the war is not going as well as we predicted. We're not winning the Iraqi hearts and minds as we thought we would. In fact, they're fighting back.
Now, wait a minute, Colin. I got this idea from watching a Peter O'Toole movie on the Academy Award the other night. See, if I was to dress up in white sheets...
Dress up in white sheets? I thought you resigned from that organization.
I meant white robes, Mr. Powell. You know, like an Arab sheik with a gold-plated dagger and IW all alone marching to Iraq to save the Arabs from themselves.
W of Arabia.
Sing it, Colin.
The Iraqi savior.
Mamia,
kind of guy.
Just like my dad. And it's oil wells that we'll be taking
and money making
for our corporate friends on which we depend.
Colin, let's blow Baghdad up.
Whatever you say, sir.
W of Arabia.
Arabia.
I'll bomb and I'll maim ya. Just for
check out my Peter O'Toole impression, Colin.
As long as the Arabs don't give me all their oil fields, they are a little people. They are a silly people.
What do you think, Colin?
No, no, no. More Tony Blair. Come on, George.
A little people. A silly people. Try it again.
Hey, that gives me an idea. We'll get Blair to come with us to Baghdad. Just like Lawrence, I'll say,
Prime Minister Blair will come with us, not for the money, not for the oil, but because it is his pleasure.
By George, I think he's got it.
Damn, don't call me George, Colin. Call me by my proper title, would you?
W of Arabia. He'll bomb and he'll maim ya, just like his dad.
W of Arabia, the Iraqi savior.
And we now go to CCNN, Christmas Coup Network News. This just in, Basra in southern Iraq has been captured by the coalition forces for the third time this week. Saddam Hussein International Airport has been taken by American Liberation Forces. The future military dictator of Iraq, General Tommy Franks, has renamed the airport Halliburton International Airport. Liberated Iraqi people continue to show their appreciation for the American Liberation Forces by firing small arms, grenades, and driving suicide car bombs into checkpoints. The weather in Iraq today is hot and sandy, and now we have the latest traffic report from Iraq. There's a 30-mile delay at the Hussein Midtown Tunnel. Use your Liberated Easy Pass to avoid delay. The Osama bin Laden Parkway is backed up for 2 miles with a Humvee hitting an overhead pass. The Jihad Highway from Syria is slow, with hundreds of suicide car bombers coming in. One of the cars has a flat and will have to wait till they blow up that tire. The upper deck of the Sheikh Rahman Bridge is your best bet to get into the city. An M1 Bradley tank has collided with a Liberated missile and is causing a backup on the Mujahideen Expressway. The Iranian Turnpike is backed up all the way to the northern no-drive zone. The HOV lanes are now working into the city, so if you have two or more soldiers in your vehicle, you will save 20 minutes. Transit is working close to schedule, depending on electricities and bombing. Just remember, you give CNN 2 minutes, and we'll give you the body count.
Spend it all. And make sure that the most affluent get tax cuts of 90%. Remember to raise the retirement age of the poor to pay for it all. Spend it all, blow it all on guns and bombs, large and small. Our Social Security fund must be spent by an idiot incompetent president. Make sure that the most affluent get tax cuts of 90%. Remember to raise the retirement age of the poor to pay for it all.
We're sort of losing an opportunity to get deep. Much of the marking of, you know, what happened to the World Trade Center on September 11th has been sort of dehistoricized. Is that a word? I don't even know. Depoliticized. It's like anything anybody ever says is acts of heroism portrayed by the heroes and the heroic acts of heroism. And it's, you know, it's like out of nowhere. It's like a heroic act which followed up this terrorist act. And heroism out of terrorism out of heroism, and heroism came first, and there was heroism, and, you know, once you have terrorism, you gotta have heroism, and, you know, heroism, nobody, you know, it's like a natural disaster, a couple of quirky fellas, you know, it's just this there's no desire for the people who are literally involved on the street level to actually think there might have been some kind of reason for this, because no, because, you know, reason is treason in this country, and, you know, it's like we're in bad taste. It's like we're peeing on the dead bodies of the people who died such hideous deaths that day. If we offer any possible, well, you know, there might have been some people around the world who are a little upset with the way the United States has treated them. You know, and there's a certain, I don't know, empire building comes to mind. And, of course, that's the thing about this. All right, well, let me get to that in just a moment. But, I'm afraid that the whole thing that happened September 11th here in New York, you know, someday soon we're going to go to the Borders bookstore and there'll be a corner bookshelf and it'll say, True Adventure Stories, you know, 9/11. There'll be one whole shelf of that. You go to the Hallmark card store, you know, thinking of you on September 11th kind of thing. It offends me. You know, we'll send one of those cards to Mr. Cheney, because I think someday he's going to be a war criminal. He's on his way to be a war criminal, Mr. Cheney. Mr. Cheney's company, Halliburton, which, of course, he doesn't have anything to do with anymore. I'm sure that's true. You know, where do you think he goes every time? Where's Cheney? He's at Halliburton. That's where he is. I mean, these guys in this administration, their private sector is the same as their public sector. They make their public sector into the private sector. It's a private-public thing. I mean, it's, you know, what could be more obvious? The man has two jobs. While he's a vice president of the United States of America, he is working on getting contracts for Halliburton. I mean, did Halliburton not get the contracts to build the prison system in Guantanamo? And what about those three Turkish bases where they do the electrics, they do the food, they do the transport? What? There's no other prison building motherfuckers out there, huh? Nobody else can put up some chain link fence? Oh, no. Nobody can put up chain link fence like Halliburton. I mean, please, it's Whitman's for chocolate, it's Halliburton for prisons. Unfortunately, we don't need chocolate right now, so Mr. Whitman is not in the administration. I mean, it's like Cheney, he's just like working late at the bank. Don't you think he should have recused himself? You know? I mean, I recused, is that the word? I'd like to recuse myself from my future because it looks grim. Because I don't see a whole lot of compliance with my belief system, okay, in the world right now with my way of doing things. The compliance to the Reno Act, the resolution of Reno was passed unanimously, about 46 years ago, and I find a lot of people are in contempt of the proclamation of Reno. You know, of course, not you people who are listening here today. No, we're in each other's proclamations. We support each other, and that whole put down about, she's preaching to the choir. Please! Otherwise, the choir gets depressed, all right? Okay, it's not a criticism. If I'm a cheerleader, it's a righteous calling. I'll be spelling the word anarchy out when my... Give me an A! N! A-R-C-H-Y! Okay.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to...
The White Family. Join us for another wacky, politically correct suburban misadventure with America's favorites, the Whites. I'm Stone White.
And I'm Lily White.
And let's not forget those two precocious little white devils.
Happy birthday to you.
Yay. Okay, where's my present?
Caitlin, birthdays are a celebration of the renewal of life.
That's right, Caitlin. This is not a celebration of rampant commercial consumerism.
Okay, where's my present?
Okay, here you go.
Cool. A bullhorn.
A bullhorn of your very own.
I wanted a horsey.
You need to be thankful for what you have. There are millions of children in China who go to bed voiceless every night.
Cool, I want a bullhorn too.
I wanted a horsey.
I knew you were going to say that.
We got you one too, Ray.
Cool.
And just in time, because it's Wednesday, and there's a demonstration in front of Brown and Root at 601 Jefferson every Wednesday at 5 o'clock.
They do profit from the war, you know.
War is really bad for all of us.
But it's good for Brown and Root.
Okay, guys, let's go.
Let's get downtown. Come on, gang.
Are we there yet?
No.
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 Don't play with a bullhorn in the car.
Are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet?
No.
Stop.
Are we there yet?
No.
Stop that right now.
Are we there yet?
No. Stop that right now.
Are we there yet?
I'll pull this car over right now.
Are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet?
Goddamn peace demonstration!
Stop that. You're gonna be in trouble.
This is Rin Kahuta at a very important peace demonstration in front of the Kellogg Brown and Roof Tower in Houston, Texas. And now I'm going to try to talk to those two young children holding bullhorns.
Happy birthday, blah, 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 blah.
Well, maybe not.
What kind of aggression is it?
Naked.
Naked. What kind of aggression is it?
Naked aggression.
What kind of aggression is it?
Pokemon aggression.
Powerball. and you will be buried in the sand.
I'm the Avatar Labrador.
And you're the white American Americans.
You will feel my power.
No, you are the invading American white devil.
I don't want to be the invader.
We take you now live to the Oval Office, where Vice President Dick Cheney and National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice are arriving for a meeting with the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
Well, where's the President, Condi?
I thought he was with you, Dick.
What's this?
Looks like the President left us a note.
Oh, yeah.
When he uses the purple crayon, it usually means he's worried about something.
Dear Condi and Dick, I am worried they will blow up the Oval Office.
Was I right or was I right?
Yep. That is why I want you to be there.
To meet with me on speakerphone.
From a secure location.
Where do you think he is?
I don't know. I told him the Washington Monument wasn't safe.
Hmm. That flashing light is the President, Dick. We better take his call.
Yeah, okay, go ahead. Turn him on. Hello, Mr. President.
Hello, Mr. President. Hello.
Condi, Dick?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah. Did they blow up the Oval Office yet?
No, Mr. President.
The White House still stands.
Our war plan is working.
Yes, it is, Mr. President.
It's a good war plan, Mr. President.
It works because it's simple. Three simple steps. Easy to remember. One, two, three.
Well, yes, Mr. President.
Three simple steps.
What are they, Condi, and what are the three simple steps of our war plan?
Kill enemy, Mr. President.
Yes.
That's right, Condi. Yeah. Kill enemy. That's number one.
Limit damage.
Limit damage.
Sky's the limit. Sky's the limit. Don't worry.
Oh, you limit damage, but that could be a high limit.
Yes, Mr. President.
Step two is a high limit damage.
Yes.
And thirdly, provide aid.
Provide aid? What's the fun of that?
Well,
get rid of that one.
Hmm.
Get rid of it.
Okay.
Get a two-step war plan.
Mm-hmm.
Kill enemy and inflict high-limit damage. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, providing aid is how we cash in on our war, Mr. President. It'll make us rich.
I am rich, Dick. Well, so are you.
Yeah,
the rich get richer, Mr. President.
Yeah.
I suppose so. That's what I like to hear, Condi.
Yeah.
Rich get richer.
Rich get richer.
It's my dream for America.
Yeah.
And the poor get to fight for the war.
Yeah.
They get killed. Their family receives a nice flag. Isn't that right?
Yeah, it's a full-sized flag, Mr. President.
Not just a flag pin.
Absolutely free.
Free.
It's a free flag, Mr. President.
Someone pays with his life, the family gets a flag.
Ooh, my heart goes out to wealthy Republicans yearning for another tax cut.
Yes, Mr. President.
That is why I have decided to charge for those flags.
Charge the bereaved families, Mr. President?
Where does it say you get a free flag?
Well, it doesn't, Mr. President.
The money we could make selling flags to the families of our fallen military will pay for the tax cuts for wealthy Republicans.
Those flags cost the government $19 each, Mr. President.
We will charge $100 per flag, Condi.
Ooh.
If the family wants more than one flag, this way we can eliminate the problem of the mothers and the widows fighting over the one flag.
Well, you know, those fights can ruin a funeral.
The President has eliminated that problem, Dick.
That's right, I did.
That's good.
There's only one person who hugs the mothers and the widows, the wives and the kids, upon the death of their loved ones. Others hug, but having committed the troops, I've got an additional responsibility to hug, and that's me. That's me who's got to hug. I'm a little confused with all the bullhorns in the background by these kids.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Mr. President.
And besides, those flags, also available for purchase by Gold Star family members, dig this, the new Iraq of Freedom tote bags with matching gas masks.
Wow.
I hate Republicans.
My name's James No. I'm here from the Pentagon Force Protection Agency. We're going to be discussing the Pentagon's emergency escape mask program. If you have problems with putting things over your head, we can go real slow, step by step through this procedure, and we'll make sure that you're able to get the mask on. The emergency escape mask should not be used underwater. It shouldn't be used for fumigation, material structure firefighting, blasting operations, or in areas of high speed sparks or flames.
And this is the Christmas Coup Comedy Players at WBAI.
And KPFD Houston, 90.1 Galveston 89.5.
And now, Barry Crimmins, and you can reach Barry Crimmins at barrycrimmins.com.
How are you?
Very good.
Am I supposed to hear someone talking, giving instructions in the background?
Well, there shouldn't be anyone giving instructions except the guy telling you how to put on your gas mask.
Oh, what do you... Yeah, oh, yeah, that's the instructions.
Okay, but do you know how to do that now?
Yes, I do know how to do that.
Okay, because it isn't easy.
I've been having some trouble with my Geiger counter, but that's another story.
Okay, it certainly is.
Well, okay, as ever, I'm not in a great mood tonight. The court-appointed Bush administration is nothing more than a limbo contest for scum. Elliot Abrams is said to be considering resigning in protest over the administration's recent use of death squad as a pejorative term. An enraged Abrams asked, do you have any idea how long it took us to sanitize those words in the 80s? Richard Perle wasn't demoted because he represented the tip of the iceberg of a White House infestation of war profiteers and drag as military advisors. He was demoted because he lost an internal struggle with Dick Cheney over claim of the title Prince of Darkness. Speaking of darkness, wasn't it thoughtful of the commanders of Operation Octane Overlord to compensate for cutting the lights to Baghdad by dropping so many bright, shiny bombs to help illuminate the night sky? As that great Christian George W. Bush would say, it's better to ignite one city than to curse the darkness. I got to give Bush credit. I didn't think he could become any more smarmy or unbearable, but his latest spate of appearances before active military units, veterans groups, and active military units have been particularly unwatchable. He tells us things like, we are going to finish what we started, in a manner that suggests his words carry the weight of history rather than the ring of bad dialogue from a cowboy movie. But like his dad before him, he will soon pine for the good old days of the Gulf War. If pride goeth before a fall, W is about to jog off the north rim of the Grand Canyon. The economy's shot, and he's soon going to learn that it's a lot easier to start a war than to keep the peace. The USA may think it only invaded Iraq, but an awful lot of people in the Middle East look at this war as an assault upon the entire Islamic world. And just because Bush or Rumsfeld or Tampa Tommy Franks want to declare victory won't make the war end. The coalition has already renamed Saddam Airport Baghdad International. While they're at it, they might as well change the name of Iraq to the American Gaza. And so now, as we approach the day when the Bush-Blair coalition declares a cynical victory, those of us with a more enlightened view will be forced to do our mourning and worrying among ill-informed and gleeful Americans. As we hear naive talk about how democracy has come to Iraq, we will know that only a small percentage of the Iraqi people would have supported their alleged liberation at the cost of so many innocent lives. And we will live with the grim truth that this war won't end until the last zealot this war self-create has given his all for Allah. They'll hold the Republican convention in Paris before Gulf War II hatred for the U.S. even begins to subside in the Middle East. So excuse me if I don't go down to Wall Street and celebrate by buying into the latest Ponzi scheme, public offering. Their inside information may call for post-war blue skies, but from my vantage point, a jihad rain is going to fall.
We now take you live to the White Stog, where President George W. Bush is holding a special news conference for the benefit of the European Union. That is the voice of the German translator that we hear in the background.
To all the men and women of the United States Armed Forces now in the Middle East. In this conflict, now that conflict has come, America has no regard for its own people, for the families of our military or millions of Americans praying with you. A final atrocity will require our sustained commitment. Could be longer and more difficult than some predict. This will not be a campaign of half measures. And we will accept no outcome but victory. We come to Iraq to restore control of that country to early stages of military operations. And we will accept no outcome but victory.
We take you now live to the Oval Office where Vice President Dick Cheney, National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice are meeting via telephone with the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
Hello, are you there, Mr. President?
Mr. President, have we lost you?
We've lost the President. We've lost him.
Well, This could be a problem if we've lost the president. Perhaps the Pentagon would like to give us some advice then about wearing gas masks.
Wait a minute.
The president. Condi, have you found the president?
Right. Okay, now we have the president.
Mr. President?
Condi, Dick.
Oh, yes, we're here, Mr. President. We're worried about you.
What happened to my phone?
I don't know. We were afraid they blew up your remote location.
Question here.
Yes.
Did they blow up the Fatherland's Oval Office yet?
No, Mr. President.
Not yet, Mr. President.
Well, if you hear a missile approaching, close the window or something like that.
Yeah.
The window is closed, Mr. President.
Yeah, we thought of that.
That's good, kids.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Here's what I want to tell you.
Yes, Mr. President.
Because of the success of our simple three-step war plan, kill enemy, inflict damage, and get rich, rebuilding their country, I have decided to employ the same war plan to take care of this country, the fatherland's domestic issues.
Well, that's a good idea, Mr. President.
How do you do that, Mr. President?
Listen to me.
Yes.
You guys listening?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Stay tuned.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Step one, dig this.
Yeah.
Kill the enemy.
Kill the enemy.
Step one.
First. Yeah.
First, we must identify the enemy.
You can't kill the enemy until you identify the enemy, Mr. President.
ID the enemy.
That's right. Well, high unemployment, tell me if I'm wrong, threatens our economy.
You are right. Yes, it does, yes, Mr. President.
Yes.
Thus, unemployment is the enemy.
Yes, Mr. President.
Patriotic citizens will be encouraged to kill the unemployed until acceptable unemployment levels are achieved.
How would they kill them, Mr. President?
Kind of dumb, Dick.
Well?
With guns, stupid.
Well, you know, that might be dangerous, Mr. President, shooting guns.
We could set up killing zones in poor neighborhoods.
Well, that might do it.
The homes of striking workers will be demolished by bulldozers.
Wait, that's step two. Limit damage.
Yeah.
High limit damage.
Yes, Mr. President.
Our friends in the construction industry will be offered lucrative contracts to rebuild America once all the nation's libraries have been leveled and the books burned.
Mr. President, you've not only won the war in Iraq, now you've saved the economy.
I know I have, Cody. It's because Jesus loves me.
I hate Republicans.
Okay, what did we say the first step was? We needed to make sure that we had the ability to get a good neck seal.
Ken, are you there, Mr. President?
I'm here.
You're here. All right, we'll find out where the damn busy signal is.
I'm here.
And,
sitting in North Texas.
Mr. President, were you down in Tulia, Texas?
I'm down here trying to check things out, trying to blame some Klansman, giving a Klansman a bad name down here. He's been trying to help us out here.
They did.
Trying to help out, trying to get rid of these black terrorists.
Uh-huh. Well, wasn't that the officer of the year?
My good friend Ronald Reagan give me some advice.
Some advice?
You know, he told me this morning, you guys, what you only think should be, everything is going to be fine. I took that to heart.
Well, can you tell us what it was?
Can't tell you. It's important information. Okay. Maybe my friend Strom Thurmond can tell you.
Just president
Strom,
to president.
Give it a shot.
Uh-huh,
yeah,
give it.
Yeah, I ain't gonna hear. Everybody here was sitting down here in Tweet Tactics. All sorts of Negro running around here. They got Negro everywhere here. Black Negro, dark black Negro everywhere here.
Uh-huh.
What do you think over there? Everybody can look at this end. That's the kind of advice I'm getting down here.
Oh, my.
Getting good at solid advice.
No.
You're taking phone calls today, right?
Yeah, we will be doing that. Just wanted to ask you if you... Hello? You're on the air.
What does W think about those northern outsiders coming down to Tulia and making all that trouble? And I congratulate him.
So you got the picture.
Sick terrorism. Women trying to defend their children. Terrorism.
You seem to have lost contact with the president.
We're having a terrible time with the presidential line down to Tulia, Texas.
Mr. President,
you're back.
There.
Back in the city of northern Texas, some Klansman was framed. Good, decent Klansman. Had an American flag in his front yard. Good kind of cross, a Jesus cross that he burned. Keep the city warm.
Right, a good burning cross keeps the city warm.
Keeps the place cold here in Tulia, Texas.
Okay,
Mr. President, are you there?
Hello? Well, this is a great show, the Hello Show.
Fungal. Here we go. Well, we got 3 minutes anyway. We might as well just finish up, take a few phone calls.
All right, let's just take your phone calls. Hello, you're on the air.
Is
anybody pots up here? Is anybody out there?
Hello, I'm calling
you. Yes, you're calling. Oh,
this
now
is
we have a caller.
Fabulous show. I wonder
it
if
really is an excellent show.
Who invented the telephone?
Who
anyway?
Did invent it? I think it was Alexander Graham Gotcha.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
I thought it was Don Amici.
He was a Russian man, Mr. Gotcha, and he made the telephone that we have.
All right, I'll listen off the air.
Yeah, all right.
I don't know how
Thank
I do that.
Thank you so much.
Wait a minute, I think I'll listen on my radio.
You listen on your radio.
Max, how do they do this with the golden age of radio?
Yes, what do you do? They don't take calls. And hello, could you be on the air? No, God forbid. Anybody? Hello, I guess
a voice.
A human voice.
How you doing?
Good, we're doing great.
Yeah. I missed the president because I was wondering when he's going to stop wasting time and help Israel to liberate the Palestinians, these sad, ignorant people who doesn't realize that the Israeli government really wants to liberate them.
Well, yeah, they're doing a great job of it, aren't they?
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, I mean,
a couple of more bulldozers and they'll have it done in about a couple of weeks.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello. This is a deep cover CIA agent.
And WBAI, you're on the air.
I was wondering, do you think it would be more effective opposed to attacking the president? Attack the men that have the real convictions that are really making the changes and moving towards a new world order.
But that would be tragedy, not comedy.
Justice to the people that...
Now, there is no justice in comedy.
Then it's just a therapy show, which BAI tends to be many times.
Uh-huh. Well,
right?
I don't know. Any answer to that? Not really.
Next call. We only have 2 more minutes here,
really.
And we don't know.
We don't like to end on
the
a downer.
Next time we'll be on.
A downer about why we should do a tragedy show as opposed to a sort of comedy show.
Well, the next time we are going to have the president in the studio.
We certainly will. There will be none of this Texas escapism here.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to the Christmas Coup Comedy Players, that's the CCCP, 4-star General Laughing Nightmare, with Randy Credico, David Dozer, Mark Kehoe, John Canopa, Moogie Klingman, and Lindley Farley, Elizabeth McDonough, John McDonough, Scooter, the White Family, which consists of Scooter, Wendy, Caitlin, and Raymond, special guest Barry Crimmins, Reno, Grandpa Al, and Karen Lewis, technical direction by Chris Z, and me, Janet Coleman. This show will replay Tuesday on KPFT Houston at 12 noon, Texas time. Please visit our website, ChristmasCoup.com. Congratulations, Al Lewis, for being named a Kentucky Colonel.
From rocky coast to golden shore.